Good afternoon. Today is Monday, April the 16th, 107th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon. Ooh, let's see if I can do it. You determine which is more impressive. United States Air Force Colonel retired or 5+ year community commenter. Your call. What is rarer in this world? Ron Pierre.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate that.
So we'll just kind of let that one percolate a little bit. We go into the break. Ron's got a program, and we'll talk a little bit about how he's involved with the program, for hiring vets, National Guard, or active military. Is that?
It's primarily
reserve. Are they both active?
No, it's actually, it's primarily reserve components, and the significance of the program is both National Guard and reservists.
And reservists, okay.
But the program we'll talk about is geared for the reserve components of the U.S. military.
So we'll talk about that and some of the cool things that this may offer you, your business, your community, when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 416. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ron Pierre. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from, and the closest we can come up with as a group interpretation of this name, is Aristophanes. And that could be so wrong, it would be embarrassing. However, the quote is very cool. A man may learn wisdom even from a foe.
I'm impressed.
You like that one, huh?
That is really...
Well, I didn't come up with it. All I did was read it.
I'll file that away and maybe use that in a community comment or something.
Fair enough, man. Fair enough. So, Ron, what is this other part of your day-to-day activities other than cramming and writing community comments that this Hero to Hired program is all about?
Well, Brian, I'm the State Ombudsman Director for California Support for the Guard and Reserve, and that's a program where we work with employers and with service members, members of the National Guard and Reserve, to make sure that their jobs are secured when they come back from deployment. And the reason we're focusing on reserve component forces is that reserve component forces right now constitute about 45% of the total manpower in the United States military, which is significant. Most people don't realize that.
It's not always been at that level.
No. If you go back historically, back to the era of World War II, you had 16 million people in uniform, and those were all pretty much active forces. We saw a transition in the Korean conflict period where we had more and more reservists or people coming from active duty out of World War II into the Guard and Reserve, but we had small components at that point. The real change happened in 1973 when we went to the all-volunteer force. We used to have a draft before that point, and when we went to the all-volunteer force, the realization that manpower was probably the most expensive element that you would have in the Department of Defense caused the DOD to change force structure periodically. So we went from a level of maybe 80% active forces to a point right now where 45% of the manpower of all of the military forces is a Guard and Reserve component. Let me give you an example of a force that most people don't realize that is a total Guard force, and that's the Continental Air Defense Force, those people that protect the shores of the United States when a hijacked airplane comes in. The National Guard, the Air National Guard, is 100% tasked with that mission. So there is no active component that maintains Continental Air Defense.
Now, how frightening is that?
Well, that's
not to denigrate National Guard or the reserves, but you would think that there would be some hired guns that would be there coordinating and being maybe overseeing rather than folks that don't have that legacy of experience.
No, the legacy of experience is actually with the Guard. They are the air-to-air component of the United States Air Force. Another fact on that in the Air Force.
But do you have full... let's step back, Rod.
Okay.
Fallacies of the National Guard.
Okay.
Okay. Weekend warrior.
Okay.
Normally, they are... I know Billy's going to love this. They're CPAs or radio station guys. What do we know about what end of the gun, let alone developing expertise to that extent?
Young kids,
or folks that couldn't make it into the military would go and volunteer to the National Guard.
That's very astute.
Are any of these...
Those are pretty much misconceptions today. What are you talking about in terms of a guard force? Let's take the Army, for example. 60% of the combat forces of the United States Army are guard and reserve components. Those are the guys that have been in Afghanistan and been in Iraq on 5 and 6 deployments practically since the year, you know,
year 2001. One starting.
So since the first Gulf War, we have had guard and reserve forces deployed to spots all over the world, from Bosnia to Iraq to Afghanistan. So 60% of the combat arms of the United States Army are guard and reserve forces. And one of the biggest states in that whole component is the state of California.
Do we have a large percentage of the total numbers of individuals in the National Guard also?
Yes.
So it's an even ratio going out.
60% of the theater airlift, of those guys taking bullets and beans into the forward operating locations, or as they call them now, downrange, 60% of those people at theater airlift comes out of the United States Air Force Reserve.
So what, I don't want to say that they're not professional, but just for simplicity's sake, for my simple approach to life, where are the military pros being deployed if we're bringing in the reserves and the guards to be doing the preponderance of the workload?
Good question. Our force is now about a million military people spread out in all forces. Navy, Marines, and so forth, Air Force, they're all doing their regular missions too. So you have space missions, computer missions, all of those other missions are all being done by an active force that is sizably smaller than what we have right. And we have 313 million people, roughly, in the United States. Less than 3% of that force is active duty military. About 4% of that is in the reserve. So you combine those together, maybe 7% of the entire population of the United States is involved in the defense of the United States.
Is that number low, Ron, compared to what it historically is? Not during periods of armed conflict, but just kind of as a regular
stat. It's been getting smaller and smaller. And really the reason that we've gone to a guard or reserve component is dollars and cents. 8% of the DOD budget are the cost figures associated with the Guard and Reserve, and that's a lot cheaper than a full-time military guy.
Career military guy
myself.
You start using yourself, now that just goes in a whole different can of worms. KINS, News and Information Times 423. We'll be back with more from Ron Pierre.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 427. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ron Pierre. Ron, the concept behind military coming back and having jobs waiting for them, I know that that's time-honored. That's something that probably goes back before the country existed. But we didn't have a lot of professional soldiers at that point. Now we've got a lot of professional military guys and gals coming back to an economy that is less than robust. Mm-hmm. The economy with an unemployment level, depending on the functional numbers, and we get into all that weird stuff at that point, but let's just call it 10% as a round figure. I know it's maybe higher. Here come these folks with job skills back into a culture that doesn't have jobs for a lot of them. Or does it?
Well, we've got to actually go to a legal foundation, Brian, and I, you know, hate to bring up legalities at this point, but we have to go to 1993 and an act of Congress that's called USERA, United Services Employment and Reemployment Act of 1993. And that law states that a service member's job is protected. So if a service member goes on a deployment, that service member's job that he vacated, particularly a guardsman or a reservist, that job is protected. And when that person returns, there is an understanding that he will be reemployed. In fact, within state law, if you're an employer in the state of California, you have an employment rights poster that's posted.
Oh, the big posters,
right.
Yeah.
One of the corners of that poster talks about USERA and the law and the requirements. But what's happened in the state of California is that we've had such a decrease in number of jobs in the state that in some areas in California, our service members are returning from Afghanistan or Iraq and coming to no jobs or restructuring, or the job's been changed to a part-time job and I can't support my family.
What about the job skill sets changing so that it's not
exactly?
It's not even a comparable. It sort of is, but it's not really
exactly
the same kind of job.
But you have a service member who's left a position, and the software's changed, and the way you do business has changed. And
software has changed. Imagine that.
So it's a situation where there is some retraining, but that person's job is protected. The job he or she had when they left.
At the same pay level?
No, there are several provisions in the law that allow for an, and that's where an ombudsman comes in and discusses that. But the Department of Defense recognized, because of the high unemployment rate, that there was a need to come up with a program and come up with a program very quickly to find a way where we can match service members returning with employers. And we didn't want to get bogged down with the cumbersome processes of register at this point, go see a job counselor, we'll show you how to write a resume. How do we do that and do that quickly? And the answer is what I want to talk to you about.
You don't really need to.
You don't need to. There's a new program that's actually hit the streets the 1st of March. It's called Hero to Hired. Came out of the Department of Defense. And it's a social media-based job program that's free. I say again, free to employers and to service members. And it's so easy to get onto. You can sign onto the internet as a service member, register, take a test, kind of like a Myers-Briggs personality test, have your military skills matched, and look on a database of jobs right now that's listed 3.5 million jobs across the country within 1 month.
Well, I bet even I could find employment with 3.5 million jobs. Possibly.
I think so. Even as a radio man, you could probably do that, Brian.
KINS, News and Information Times, 431.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lampus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 435. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Ron Pierre, who's coordinator for the state of California.
Well, actually, I'm the ombudsman director.
Well, for regular guys, that means you're coordinating things.
Well, actually, what I do
I can't even say that's a Nordic word. I don't do Nordic.
Oh, you don't do Nordic, okay.
No. Lutefisk.
Lutefisk.
Or is it?
I would rather say it than eat it.
Oh, man. Oh. I've been to one fish boil. And I never figured out why people would get so excited about eating fish that were in water that were called whitefish, to start with. Two, that you burned off all the excess with gasoline. And then you ate it.
That's
an acquired taste.
That's another topic for another time, Ron.
Yeah. So what instigated, Ron, the primary push to do some kind of an employment program for the returning vets?
The high unemployment rate is the real simple answer on that, Brian. In some areas of the country, the unemployment rate among guardsmen and reservists, again, reserve component folks, exceeded 30%. In the state of California, for example, it's relatively high. We are in the 17 to 20% range.
My understanding with just the regular, it's the coasts,
right.
The Midwest, you know, you pretty much call your employment.
Right. But you're looking at states.
Big population areas.
Yeah. California has a significant population of guardsmen and reservists, Air Force, Army, all services, in fact. We even have Coast Guard reserves. Those large states have a large number of folks that are coming back without jobs or their jobs changed. And the areas that it's really impacted, or the people that it's really impacted, are our junior enlisted folks, E1s to E4.
It'll be the 20-year-olds?
20-year-olds.
I got to break down this barrier here, man.
I'm sorry.
The 20-somethings.
My wife had told me don't use any jargon, so
yeah,
I'm trying to stay away from
I'll keep reminding
and,
you.
And junior officers, I would say, you know, our young officers just out of college that maybe served as a second lieutenant or young captain in the Army or the Air Force, and that person trying to find a job. He's got a college degree but very little experience.
Now, why wouldn't these folks choose military as a career? Or is that not an option through the National Guard?
No, that's an option if you can compete and get a slot. But as I said when we started, we are in a force structure right now where 45% of the entire military component of this country is a Guard and Reserve component because of, again, the dollars for an active force are limited.
So as you're looking down the road without this plan, why would anybody want to sign up for the National Guard?
It provides an income for you part-time, and if you're if you've got a part-time job...
But if you're going to school and flipping hamburgers, I mean, it's...
It also gives you some stability in terms of education. It gives you stability for money, and it gives you the stability of potential retirement if you get enough years credit in the Guard and Reserve. There is a retirement option available. Plus, there is medical coverage that's available for you while you're on active duty, and guard duty or deployment.
Does every one of the five branches of the military have a reservist component?
All of the branches do, yes. In fact, there are seven components that we deal with in employer support of Guard and Reserve. We call it seven SEALs. Those are Navy Reserve, Navy Active, or Navy Reserve, Air Force Guard, Air Force Reserve, Marine Reserve, Coast Guard Reserve. So, yes, we deal with all seven military service components.
When these folks are coming back and they're looking for jobs, whether it's through this program or mm-hmm. not, I would imagine most want to come back home, wherever home is. Are the jobs through this program, are you hoping that they'll be jobs at home, or jobs, and now when they come back, it's kind of like, okay, after college, where's the job? Oh, I have to move to Wyoming. I have to move to Florida. Is it something akin to that?
Because this program is social media based, Brian, a service member that wants to explore this program for a job can actually go onto this site, and the site is h2h.jobs, and that's how you get onto the site. The person can actually go onto that site, register, and look at jobs from Eureka, California to Portland, Maine. And they can match their skills. Say they have relatives that live in Oklahoma City. They could look at what jobs are available in Oklahoma City. Maybe they get family support there. Or they've got a friend that lives in Tucson. So you have the ability with this program, because it's internet-based and based on social media, to actually look across the country.
So they can cross-reference geographically as well as by job skill sets?
Job skill set, industries, educational level, almost every kind of job sort you could look at. Moreover, you can match your military specialty, whether it's an MOS or a force specialty code. Military specialty, occupational specialty is what that stands for.
That means what they did in the Army.
What you did in the Army, right. And you can match that skill with what jobs are out there. A truck driver, for example. If you were a truck driver in the military, you could match that skill with job openings wherever you wanted to move in the country.
It seems like it's a pretty flexible kind of a program. Why not before? Why hasn't this thing come into existence for retiring military or others?
I think the reason it hasn't come in before is because, first of all, you've got a drawdown in Iraq. So you have a large number of people coming out. We know that we're going to have a drawdown in Afghanistan. So I think from the political sense, the politicians were saying, well, we've got to do something because you're going to flood the market with returning veterans, and we'll have a situation where you'll have veterans unemployed. And politically, in an election year, that may not be the thing to do.
Unemployed military, unemployed non-military?
Unemployed military right now have an advantage.
How would you stack these kids? Sorry, they're under 52. They're kids.
Okay.
Then I'm inclusive.
Okay.
These kids with the others who are seeking employment.
Very good question. You know, I'm glad you asked, because my last command was as a recruiter, so I can talk with some authority on that. In the military, you're going to get someone that's qualified physically, mentally, and in some areas, I hate to say the word morally, but that means they haven't used drugs or any controlled substances, and would be a person that you could put into a job that required
passing a drug test. That's one of the biggies around here.
Exactly.
That they've talked about for decades. Can you pass a drug test?
Right now, if you look at the age group 18 to 27 across the United States, only 1 in 4 young people in that group will qualify for the U.S. military because of all of the various components, either overweight or not physically fit.
Oh, sure. Bring that up first.
Well, you know, I should talk.
Appreciate that. And your eyesight too.
Exactly.
What about the psychs, Ron? You know, we've heard a couple stories in the last few weeks about some of these folks coming back and just going weird. That's going to be in the back of everybody's mind.
Exactly.
Is there any way, does this program help those folks, or help to identify those folks before they get brought into a business or a sensitive situation?
The program doesn't have a medical component to it, Brian. I think that has to go with the employer. As part, again, you know, you're going to interview anybody that comes into your business, but it allows you to see where that person has been. For example, if you've got a policeman that you're going to hire, you're going to ask if that person has been involved in Afghanistan, in the what their job was. And those are some of the things that we would rely on employers to do initial screening and qualifications on. Employers can actually sign up on this program themselves.
We'll talk about how we can get there in just a moment. KINS, News and Information Times, 444. We'll be back with more from Ron Pierre. Go.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 448. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with retired Colonel and Ombudsman, who eats at smorgasbords.
Whatever.
Ron Pierre.
Actually, I'm the Ombudsman Director for
Thank you. Okay, you can say it without mumbling and stumbling. The Hero to Hire program, easy enough to find on the internet. Certainly, if somebody wants to call us, you know, we can have that information for them. What are the surprises in this for the community?
The surprises in this for the community are really I don't really see any, Brian. I think it's the kind of thing where somebody could go on. If you were an employer, you could go on to the Hero to Hire H2H.job and sign on, register your business, and record what you wanted to do. You could also, if you're a service member, you can sign on, do the job qualifications. But probably if you're interested in doing a family situation, your wife can also register, so wife or husband. So the program is also been made available for spouses of both the guardsmen and reservists or reserve component people. It's and that's a real advantage. So it's, I guess to sum the program up, it's a program that's come online very rapidly. It is a media-based, internet-based program for employers, service members, spouses, and it's an instant program where you're on looking for a job. It's a great.
How about
program.
Easy?
Easy
to figure out. Yeah,
it's so easy that a non-tech guy can even do that.
So I'm at about a 50-50 on this one then.
Right.
I could do it without having to call you.
Oh, you could do that without having
to. Of course, you're a radio groupie, so you probably would be hanging around here.
A radio
anyway.
Group. I would be hanging around KINS. Thinking about the next shop.
There you go. Community comment, take your pick. Yeah. Thanks for coming by, Ron.
Thank you, Brian.
We've been Talking Shop with Ron Pierre. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.